Welcome to the WP Tonic This Week in WordPress and SaaS podcast, where Jonathan Denwood interviews the leading experts in WordPress, e-learning, and online marketing to help WordPress professionals launch their own SaaS.
Welcome back, folks, to the WP Tonic monthly roundtable show. This is episode 916. We've got a great panel. We've got a couple of great special guests. In this show, we're going to be talking about Shuttlestock, buying out Avito, ThemeForest, basically, and other assets. We're going to be talking about Google buying stuff, basically, HubSpot. We're going to be talking about Conversio, and we're going to just be talking about a minor topic, the poisoning of the USA, only a minor topic. It should be interesting. We've got a couple special guests. We've got a new guest, David. I've got to tell you, Dave, I'm so impressed when we get a new guest, because normally this is where you come to end your WordPress career, David. So David, would you like to quickly introduce yourself to the tribe?
Sure. Yeah. David Risley with Blog Marketing Academy. And basically, I've been doing courses and that type of stuff, hence the word academy, for several years. But more recently, I do concierge services for WordPress, like a lot of other people.
I'm even more impressed when we have special guests that come back on the show. I don't know if they're mentally ill or they're just brave, but we got Jeff back. Jeff, would you like to quickly introduce yourself to the tribe?
Yeah, I'm the outreach coordinator for Mindsize, pretty awesome WordPress development agency. And you said you wanted an entertaining show, and that's why I'm here.
There you go. What more can we ask for? That's it. I've got my friend Heather. Heather, would you like to introduce yourself to the tribe?
Yeah, hi. I'm Heather Wild-Renzi. I am the CTO of The Difference Consulting and author of Birth of a Unicorn.
I've got the only, and I mean the only, Spencer Forum. Spencer, would you like to introduce yourself?
It's Spence from WPLaunchify.com.
I've got my friend Chris, the wise man of WordPress. Chris, would you like to introduce yourself?
Yeah. Hey, I'm Chris from Lifter LMS, and I have a podcast for course creators called LMS Cast.
Chris is one of the most patient individuals I know, actually. I've got another very patient individual. I've got Kurt, my regular co-host that deals with my madness on a regular basis. Kurt, would you like to introduce yourself to the tribe?
Sure. My name's Kurt Von Annen. My company is Mañana No Más, and we work directly with folks at WP Tonic and the really good folks at Lifter LMS.
So let's go straight into it. I almost forgot, tribe, a very important thing. We've got a couple messages from our major sponsors. We will be back in a few moments, folks.
Tired of hosting providers that can't handle high traffic loads? Conversio is here to help. Our platform can handle any amount of traffic, all without slowdown or crashing. With immediate Slack support, performance optimization, and a team that thrives on resolving technical challenges, your e-commerce business is in safe hands. Learn more about Conversio at conversio.com.
Hi there, tribe. It's Jonathan here, and I want to tell you about OmenSend. OmenSend is a great plugin that delivers SMS messaging and email messaging to your clients. If you're building a woo solution for your client and you're looking to provide a SMS functionality for them and great email, why don't you look at OmenSend? Got a great special deal. You can go to wp-tonic.com/deals, and they're offering 30% off the first 3 months. Plus, if you need any technical help or a migration, they're offering almost $1,000 to help migrate if you've got a group of clients that are looking for this type of service. It's a great offer. They're a great company. I highly recommend them to you. So, like I say, go over to the deals page on the WP Tonic website and you'll find more details there. Speak to you soon, folks. Bye. We're coming back, folks. Also want to point out we've got some special deals from the major sponsors, plus a curated list of the best WordPress plugins for the WordPress professional and services. You can get all these free goodies by going over to wp-tonic.com/deals, wp-tonic.com/deals. What more could you ask for? Probably a lot more than that's all you're going to get on that bloody phone.
It's a dollar. Always a dollar.
It's only a dollar. A dollar. This goes straight into it, Tribe. Shuttlestock is gobbling up Evito on, what a bargain for $245 million. So, David, let's throw you straight into it, David, before you drown. What did you think of this when it came on your radar?
You know, honestly, for me, it's not that big of a deal because I can count maybe on one hand how many times I've actually used that site. It's just I don't find it to be super as relevant, which is you actually said they're getting a bargain. That may be why. It's not as relevant as it used to be, in my personal opinion, because things have moved on to the page builders and the block-based themes and stuff like that. So going with the old school stuff is just not as relevant as it used to be. But they're obviously trying to get some exposure to the WordPress space and get beyond just stock photos. And it makes sense from that perspective.
So what do you reckon, Chris? I think it's kind of two companies that got problems. Will it be a marriage, a delightful marriage or a marriage in hell, Chris?
I don't know. One of my favorite business books is Good to Great. And one of the mistakes that you can make is what's called a line extension, where you like go outside your core competency and you get involved in too many different businesses. But maybe they'll pull it off and just kind of broaden the scope of what they offer for people looking to build digital, websites or projects on the internet. And I the most interesting part, I think, is what David mentioned with the peaking about 10 years ago. And a fun story, like the first LMS site I built with a ThemeForest theme called Academy. And that was the project that basically launched my career. I started blogging about how I did it. Clients started reaching out to me to do it for them. And later I built a plugin to do the LMS aspect. But I think what's really changed in addition to what David said is people used to go look for WordPress themes. It was like the doorstep of having a WordPress website. Like, oh, I need an LMS theme, or I need a restaurant theme, or I need a, auto body repair or classifieds ad theme. And so themes used to do a lot of the heavy lifting that plugins have evolved to do, in my view, better. And just broadly speaking, I see plugins as the place for functionality and themes as the place for design, for the most part, as a general rule. And I think that's WordPress is tracked that way. but I also know some theme authors who, have been very successful on Envato. I was a little surprised that their email list was only 650,000. I actually would have thought it was much bigger than that. And WordPress is only a small part of what they did, what Envato does, so I thought that was interesting. But good for the founders of Envato for doing it, but I hope that Shutterstock takes really good care and possibly invests more into the WordPress side to help, create some growth in the WordPress ecosystem, but time will tell.
So, Jeff, I think Chris has put it well. So I think one Evito, their problem is page builders and the shuttle. And the other one is AI. They're both of them got a couple problems that they're dealing with. So will this marriage solve the fundamental problems that I think these two big businesses faced with their business model, basically?
Yeah, I don't. If you are a
theme author. If your business relies on the Envato theme marketplace, ThemeForce, I would be pretty much doing everything I can right now to have a plan B, because it's very worrying that in the press release, there is barely any mention of WordPress, how that's going to fit into the future, how ThemeForce is going to fit into the future. And based on some of the articles we've seen come out, there's quite a number of authors on ThemeForce who have been kind of complaining about the lack of marketing budget and attention given to the ThemeForce marketplace overall. But yeah, as we've seen, I think Envato being sold is probably a good thing for the business overall, because it's never going to be like it was in the heyday back around 2016. That was about its peak. But let it be known, I think we should all realize and kind of celebrate the fact that ThemeForce at the time as a marketplace, between it and CodeCanyon, launched the careers of businesses of all sorts of people all over the world. And that should not be understated. And that's an awesome thing that they were a part of throughout the journey of WordPress, I should say, timeline of WordPress. Envato played a major part for a lot of people across the world.
Yeah. So what do you reckon, Spencer? What do you reckon of this one?
I once had the pleasure of meeting and speaking with Collis. Him and his wife, along with this guy Jan, are the co-founders. And the thing is, it's just a great success story. But I mean, first of all, like to Chris's point, they had like 2 million users. You would have thought that the number would have been bigger in terms of like when you think of ThemeForest and so forth, but it's still incredible. And they throw off hundreds of millions of dollars a year profit, 600 employees. So for them personally, like I'd be exhausted. I would just take the money and go retire. I don't know their exact age, but I think they're like me, Gen Xers. And so from that standpoint, an amazing success story, even beyond the scope of a lot of the WordPress success story. As far as Shutterstock buying it, I like also Chris's metaphor there. That like we're in a world where every day I wake up and I say to my friends, my colleagues, my kids, my customers, I'm like, I don't know what's going to happen today, but it's going to be 250 new things happen today. Whereas before it was 100, and a week ago it was like the exponential nature of things changing means that it seems kind of ridiculous to spend any money on buying a bunch of stock images and other graphics in a world where everybody's gunning for AI generated dynamic stuff. I think David alluded to that as well. It's like, this is like, we've got the money. We might as well spend it to try to get the customers, and then we'll figure out what to do with it next. Because I cannot imagine in a very short time, we're going to be using stock images. And by the way, I use Canva right now. So for $12, I have access to every fairy tale stock image I could ever imagine anyway. That's a race to the bottom, right? Like they're doing AI, but like stock images and videos are no longer going to be a thing. So, great high five to Collis.
Aren't they owned by Getty?
What's that?
Aren't they owned by Getty?
I have friends who still use Getty, but like Getty, lawyer hat on. Getty made its reputation 8 years ago by suing the crap out of everybody.
Yeah, but I've got a couple clients that...
Those days are over.
I've got a couple clients that recently got letters from Shutterstock.
Of course. But okay, let me add one last thing here, because we have so many folks today. One last thing I want to add to this is that, do you guys know how much money AOL made last year on email revenue? AOL?
It's a crazy amount of money.
It's over $500 million a year still. So there will still be, in a world of 8.5 billion people, there's going to be people using Getty images until we're living on Mars. But for people with like tuned into the real world, I don't know if that's necessarily the first place they go, you know.
It's mind-boggling. So, Heather or Kurt, do you mind if we go on to the next story, Heather, and then you can be the lead? All right, thanks. So let's go on to another one. Google's set to make... Oh, panel, you must share on your social media platforms that we're live, because we've got to get some people joining us and their comments. Their comments from the WordPress community are so insightful. I look forward to them every month, actually. Google's set to make the largest acquisition ever, threatening Microsoft. Yeah, they're sure. I'm sure they're worried. So this is Google looking like they're going to buy HubSpot. So, Heather, it kind of makes sense, but in the other way, it makes no sense to me at all, Heather.
So, yeah, I mean, this is a pretty bold move on their part. I mean, like, being able to diversify its offerings, like, by adding more marketing things, which makes total sense because we've talked about Google being, like, all about advertising and marketing. I mean, that's where their core is. That's where they do their best stuff. But, I mean, Google's lagged behind Microsoft and Amazon in cloud services, but it is making strides in AI. So being able to have HubSpot and then marry that with Google's AI, like, it's going to, like, I mean, the personalization features that they would add to HubSpot, it would make it the most crazy manipulative marketing tool that exists.
They already got problems with the Justice Department. What do you think the reactions
will be? No, I mean, it'll be like an H under Alphabet. It'll be a completely different, like, I mean, like, yes, it'll be owned by Alphabet's parent company, like the parent company, but they'll still still run it separately, but it'll have access to all of, like, the Google magic. So yeah, I mean, like, it's going to be very they're going to have to very carefully, like, deal with all the antitrust scrutiny. But having a very well known, especially up and coming, like, people get into HubSpot, people use it because it's free to start, but then it becomes expensive.
Oh yeah, it's
really
free
fast.
To start, all right.
Very expensive, yeah. Very fast. But people are already locked in because it's very hard to get your data out of it. So a lot of people use HubSpot, and a lot of the hot companies.
I don't know. My song, I can understand every word. I see where you're coming from, Heather, but as you were speaking, I was getting more hot and bothered.
I
don't know why, Heather, but I was getting hot and bothered, Heather.
I know. I mean, I just think that marrying AI
for the right marketing, reasons,
yeah, right. No, no. I mean, from a Google, like, money, like, earning growth perspective, I think this is really smart. They're going to make a lot of money from it as long as they can get past the regulatory stuff.
So, David, my beloved David, it all makes sense, doesn't it, David? You can follow Heather's very analytical. You can follow. But I just don't fucking think this is going to work out because they're awful, aren't they? You know, HubSpot are gangsters. Google, you know, when they get their grasping hands on anything, it just dies, doesn't it? You know?
Yeah, that was the two thoughts that came to my mind. The first one was, so Google, they give away a lot of their stuff for free. That's because it's a massive, basically, data mining operation. They're profiling everybody, selling ads, right? So that's a big part of
what they do. No evil. They do no evil, David.
Of course not. Yeah. And so now they've got their, if they get HubSpot, then it reminds me of,
It's a marriage, sublime marriage, isn't it, David?
Yeah, it reminds me of the company that I forgot what it was called, that they purchased and turned it into Google Analytics. They bought it because now they've got this software that will allow them to just suck data off the internet and compile it and everything. And I look at HubSpot in a similar fashion. They're looking at it to plug it in that way and get more data. And you know, I guess getting into the business space.
They don't know enough about you already.
Bigger than that.
I don't know enough already, do they, David?
Right. And the other thing that came to my mind is just that, as you alluded to it, it's sometimes this is where products go to die because they do have a reputation for killing things off when it no longer suits their purposes. And I think HubSpot might be too big to do that too, but you never know.
I never understood HubSpot's success. It's amazing. I always felt they got the success because even though they were rip-off agents, they weren't as bad as Salesforce. So, Kurt, what did you reckon about this marriage, this sublime marriage?
I have zero faith in Google. So I'm just not a fan of Google in general. What surprises me is the dollars. You know, in the first story, we're talking about $1.15 million.
It's a pizza.
Let's say $2 for a qualified contact lead, right? And then you look at HubSpot, and I've dealt with tons of customers in HubSpot. You know, integrating them with WordPress sites and all that kind of stuff. And
that's why you got no hair, isn't it?
And I'm just not fond of that product either. And it's like, so I see these two things I'm not fond of kind of making this union. And
what made me laugh about HubSpot for the last couple of years at WordCamp Europe, they've been sniffing around WordPress. But obviously that's going to stop because, you know, they've got their big sell out. So Spence, what could go wrong? What could go wrong with the magnificent operation that is HubSpot with their new owners? No, isn't it just sublime, isn't it, Spencer?
I mean, I'm going to refer to the parallel of geopolitics. I was reading this guy, Noah Opinions, who's very thoughtful and talking about the new axis with like North Korea, China, and Russia versus Western Europe and America and blah, blah, blah. And the power play here that's going on is Google has been shown, like the Emperor's New Clothes story, to be completely a sham. Like I used to beat on your guest, Rand Fishkin, about SEO being a bunch of bullshit. And now it's been shown that that business is over. I think they're scrambling and they're sitting on a gargantuan pile of money. So now they have to figure out to make new alliances or pick new fights. HubSpot, founded by Dharmesh Shah, is a successful company that, in my opinion, has always had borderline black hat practices with things like charging clients $17,000 for mandatory training.
Gangsters, in my opinion.
Gangsters, maybe. That's your word. But the point is, what I see happening is HubSpot customers tend to be big ticket, not cost sensitive, who can be taken in as a new way to essentially generate profits through whatever Google figures out. They're doing a land grab. They're doing a power. They're surrounding Taiwan with warships as a demonstration of what they got to do against Microsoft, who we know just spent a gajillion dollars to get OpenAI and what's happening there. At the same time, Google's Gemini is arguably floundering. So what I'm saying is, to end this longer thing, we have a problem in society where there are companies with so much assets that they can trade the human beings and the companies like trading cards, regardless of everybody sort of chuckle, ha-ha, realizing that probably they're going to destroy the HubSpot product in some way, but probably those customers won't know or care because they're mostly corporate-type people who aren't really entrepreneur, like looking at every penny and dime anyway, versus like an Envato or, you know, like a website owner of WordPress. They're going to know when the bill goes up 10 times or something breaks. Most people using HubSpot, I do six of those calls a day. They're like glazed eyes, don't really know what's happening with it, and they need somebody to help them. So it's an unfortunate reality, but look at what's happening. Like one of our other calls, like all the companies that Elon Musk's involved with, like they're doing really important stuff, but the people in the companies are being thrown around just as much as anybody because there's one dude at the top randomly making.
Why'd you have to ruin the whole show by mentioning Elon Musk?
We're
done.
Like, I don't know who runs Google anymore, but when you look at, for example,
it's not a person, actually. It's AI.
Well, but whoever's the CEO and stuff. But the point is, like, Sergey and Larry and Sergey's ex-wife is now running.
They're virtualized.
Like, billionaires think differently.
They've been dead for years. They're virtualized. We're all gone. They're virtualized. So, Chris, I don't know. Is it me? It's me, isn't it, Chris? Because Heather's logic is superb. But I still feel that this is, you know, 30 billion. But I suppose for Google, it's just a piss in the pond, really, isn't it? You know, when you know, 30 billion is nothing, is it? You know, you spend that in a month, don't you? You know, so.
Well, think about the business opportunity here. If you look at the way Google makes money, particularly through ads, there's a disconnect between what happens after the conversion, like if you're looking at Google Analytics and stuff. So if you can connect...
That's one way of putting it.
If you can keep going and following the customer, basically into a CRM, have marketing, sales better integrated with customer success. That's what they're doing. They're rolling up the whole internet experience.
But Chris, what is going to be the response of the Justice Department to what you've just outlined?
I'm not a legal expert, but I am somebody who would prefer, if I pay for advertising with Google, that I can really follow that customer. It would take a lot to make me switch to HubSpot, but they're building a walled garden of like money in, get customer, track what they do, expansion revenue, and like connecting all the dots there. So from a product perspective, there is a lot of opportunity. But it would be better if Google did it so it doesn't matter what CRM or marketing automation tool you're using and did it in a more open way.
So, Jeff, this is the problem. Chris's and Heather's logic is spot on, but the problem is the Justice Department, isn't it, Jeff? You know, this cloud, this heaven for corporate Google isn't so attractive to other people, is it, Jeff?
I think I've never used HubSpot, but I think something. I don't know what the DOJ is going to say, but I mean, apparently, if you just want to get more market share, just buy it. I guess that's how it works, and then hope the DOJ approves it. But you know, I was surprised to see that Amazon still hosts 1/3 of the cloud services market share. What is it that they offer, they provided, that has them with so much market share?
Cheap. That's cheap.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
Yeah. So that's one word, isn't it? It's cheap, isn't it? Yeah. Another superb American corporation, isn't it? There we go. God, we're rogues. Rogues. On to the next thing before we go for our break. Conversio requires ground... See it? Ground, how do you pronounce it?
Grammatic.
Grammatic. Maybe that's
Grammatic.
Grammatic. Maybe that was the problem, the name.
It's not romantic, it's grammatic.
Grammatic. Grammatic. Well, I think Jeff's going to start off because he can actually pronounce the bloody thing. because I can't. That's a slight problem, is it? So what do you reckon of this one then, Jeff?
I'll tell you what, I never heard of Grammatic until they acquired them and it showed up in the news. So I had to spend some time researching what it is. It turns out they had actually shut down earlier this year around the 31st of March. They winded down operations and Covisio kind of swooped in, probably got them for a bargain price. There is some suggestions that they didn't buy the actual user base, so they probably are going to start off fresh. But they are, Grammatic was created by people who do ArtBees, which is a kind of a web development agency. They also have a WordPress theme, Envato ThemeForest Marketplace, actually, as a matter of fact. But so now Grammatic has a Shopify app. They are big into WooCommerce. And I think Covisio just bought them.
You're stating facts here. This is not your purpose on this show. You're biased opinions. Not the
I don't know.
You're going into reporter mode.
I have no idea. I think it's great. It's a great move from Covisio, and they're going to bundle all that stuff in, and they'll be able to have another productized service. And it'll be interesting to see if they offer it for free as part of their other stuff or if it becomes a paid add-on.
Yes, I've got to be very careful here, panel, because Conversio are sponsors of this show and Tom is a personal friend. So
Tom's awesome.
There's going to be none of my normal sarcasm. I rely on you, panel. So, David, what did you think of this, Dave? What do you think? Why did they buy it, David?
I think they were buying the code, more or less. I mean, it's similar to what Jeff said. I had not heard of it. I think that was part of the problem. Nobody had heard of it. I saw the story that they did a AppSumo offer at some point. So at least from my perspective, that's not always the best way to go strategically for a business. So I think they were just struggling with marketing issues, ended up folding, and they just got their code purchased. And I think it kind of makes sense from the new guy's perspective, because it's
coupling marketing automation with WooCommerce seems like a really good productized service for them. So it makes sense.
Well, Spence, everybody seems to be buying stuff in this area, don't they? But at different price, slightly different price points, though, Spence.
Yeah. First of all, Tom's awesome. And I think, I don't know if it was a dollar, but it looks like they probably just acquired a dead asset, which is good for everybody because I noticed, for example, Bryce over at Metoric has doubled down recently. Great product for WooCommerce, but doubled down on their add-ons for doing email marketing directly from WooCommerce. So we've got a lot of businesses, including the ones that I'm heavily involved with WP Fusion and so forth, in the space of like relationships through automated marketing. And so I think that's a good strategy for Tom and his team, who I love, because they have to compete on something. They've always competed now on the concierge service and high performance e-commerce. This would seem to be a way to kind of like jump the gun and get a little bit of traction in a space where we've already seen success with, like, Metoric is doing extremely well. You know, I think Bryce publishes his annual report and it's a healthy, healthy mid seven figure business.
Every Tom, Dick and Harry seems to be getting into marketing, email and text automation. How are all these people making money ever?
I mean, they're making money because they are buying additional mailing lists from people. I mean, they're combining hosting and automation. They're bundling things together. I mean, for this, it's being able to tap into Shopify. So it's like letting Convizio tap into the existing Growmatic Shopify app. So like they couldn't do that before, but now it's going to like hopefully like hockey stick their growth.
Yeah, I've got to be very careful here because two of my sponsors are now in this. So I can't say anything, Tribe, for once. My big mouth must be silent.
So what does that mean? You're getting hush money?
Yeah, that's right.
You're telling me that hush money works on you.
Yeah, of course. Please say that to New York.
But yeah, I mean, this is like...
Especially the chocolate factory. The chocolate factory sent me a check. Oh, sure. I'll try to watch.
But yeah, I mean, like my...
But that time has passed. Won't send me a check. So there we go.
It just makes sense, Jonathan. Like what they're doing just makes sense because they have to bundle things to grow or they're not going to.
So what do you reckon, Chris? Got any insights about it? I think Heather's right. I think part of it was to get some exposure in the world of Shopify and turn them to the light of WooCommerce, maybe.
Well, I'm on the WP Tonic hosting page, and WP Tonic bundles in Fluid CRM, which has marketing automation in it.
It's the best.
Well, it is.
It's the clear best WordPress solution out there, in my opinion.
There's and I think the world of Tom and Convesio, and I at the end of the day, I just trust whatever Tom's strategy is. I don't know if he's acqui-hiring a team, even if the product failed, that's experience. And those people, he might have a bigger vision that involves building something completely new with those people. I'm not sure exactly what the goal is there, but I think hosting companies have to differentiate, and people want more from their web hosts, and all the web hosts are trying to figure out, you know, what to bundle, how to package, who to target, what the offer is, what they integrate with. So I'm just looking forward to see what Tom and the Convesio team does with this. We'll know in about 6 months, I'm guessing.
So Kurt, what do you reckon? What do you think? Can you see the logic of this?
Well, the thing that popped off to me was, like Jeff said, you know, these folks shut down in March. And so I just started thinking, What causes that? And then you look, they got positive reviews, like all these things. And then reality hits. And I go, if I was an unknown agency, like I am, and I tried to develop a new product and launch it in the 60,000 deep library that is the WordPress repository, how hard would it be to keep that company alive and try to get it to grow? And so I can't really fault them for being shut down, and maybe an injection from Tom and Convesio is just what this thing needs to really show its moxie and succeed. I wish them all the luck in the world. If it's really a great product and he can bundle that and combine user groups, maybe it'll be the punch in the arm the thing needs to you know, grow and get some traction.
That's fantastic. We're going to go for our mid-break, folks. Got a couple of other messages from our sponsors. We will be back in a few moments. We've got some fantastic stories in the second half of the show.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Lifter LMS, the leading learning management system solution for WordPress. If you or your client are creating any kind of online course, training-based membership website, or any type of e-learning project, Lifter LMS is the most secure, stable, well-supported solution on the market. Go to lifterlms.com and save 20% at checkout with coupon code podcast20. That's podcast20. Enjoy the rest of your show.
We're coming back, folks. Before we go into the other stories of the month, just want to point out that you should sign up for the WP Tonic newsletter. I write it myself every week. I find the best tech and WordPress stories of that week. Plus, I write a main piece as well. What more could you ask for? To get this rag, all you have to do is go over to wp-tonic.com/newsletter. wp-tonic.com/newsletter. And I'm getting more sarcastic every week in the newsletter. What more could you ask for?
A dollar.
Yeah, exactly. There we go. Right, on to this story. There's big stories, there's medium stories, and there's the biggest story of the 21st century. In my opinion, this is probably the biggest story of the so far in the 21st century. Toxic forever chemicals. Everywhere in the Great Lakes near Chicago. It's about what I call the devil's piss. So, Spencer, what's your take on this? Because it's technology, but it's the wrong kind of technology, in my opinion. But there's so many facets. And I also think has a direct linkage to what around AI as well, in that kind of way. Yeah. So what did you make of this slight story, Spencer?
Well, this one hits close to home, not geographically, although it's true with the Great Lakes. It's because I'm familiar with this topic, and the backstory on this is something I was actually having lunch yesterday with a pal, and we talked about. The United States, especially post-World War II, had a mindset that led to many of the problems we have today, not just because of the Cold War, but because of this feeling of infallibility that they can do anything they want anywhere, anytime, not dissimilar to what billionaires do today. One of the outcroppings was, it would happen before World War II, but happened. There was one dude who was responsible for putting lead in gasoline, and I think also asbestos. And in later years, he single-handedly may have been responsible for making baby boomers the mental cases that they are today because of lead in their brains. But similarly, it turns out that Teflon was one of the chemicals that was created as a fire retardant to coat certain parts and things. And at the time they were doing it, there was a wartime purpose or a Cold War purpose.
It comes from the Manhattan Project.
Exactly, from the nuclear weapons. And what happened was they started to see that fortunately, the women who worked, who had babies, started to have babies being born with like their nostrils being singular, all kinds of crazy stuff. They knew and hid for 40 to 50 years how bad this stuff was. And I unfortunately use Teflon products, but like even after the 70s, continued to pump it. The problem we have today is these particles of plastic are everywhere.
It's not plastic. It's not plastic. It's
a molecule. I mean, I can say the word, but it's a PFAS, stands for a molecule, and it's microscopic. It's in everything. It's in
everybody.
Everything, everybody, every animal, everything on the planet. And even like, for example, waves washing on the beach, the gyration of the waves spray it into the air and it blows inland. So here's the problem. Maybe it's either completely dark or completely hopeful. there were lots of things in the past that were caused by the chutzpah of the American government in particular that we fixed, like things like the hole in the ozone layer over the North Pole, or with CFCs, chlorofluorocarbons. There was things like they said we're going to run out of oil because of peak oil, but then they discovered not great, but fracking. The only hope we have is that the political and the personal willpower to develop technology to A, stop using this stuff in everything immediately, and B, to come up with a technological solution to clear up as much as possible so things can heal over time. And I think our generation is effed. We're completely effed. The only thing we can hope for, us, is that like we don't die of liver cancer or something. But for our children and the next generation, we owe it to them to fix what our parents did to this planet and to everybody. Because this is like we're in a lifeboat and they were just lighting fires with some Sterno. Like, screw it. We're America. We won the war. And now we're living with the consequences of this.
So, Heather, I think this is only my opinion, Heather. I want to make it clear, listeners and viewers, this is not the panel's opinion. This is my opinion. Spencer's gone now. Is Heather, unless the people at DuPont and 3M face criminal consequences for their actions, and they're made and real financial and criminal consequences, this shocking state of affairs will just continue ever. What do you think?
I 100% agree. So this is something that is very important that people pay attention to. Years ago, I moved to a city in the Boston area called Woburn. And for anyone that is familiar with this town, there was a movie made about it called A Civil Action. John Travolta was in this movie, and it was famous for a lot of people dying because of the water there being poisoned by a tanning factory. So forever, anyone that lives in Woburn does not have to pay for their water because of the results of this civil action suit. So I didn't know why I never got a water bill in Woburn for about 2 years. Like, I thought this was weird. And then I found out, oh, it's because lots of people died because the water was poisoned.
And poured a glass of water and you found that?
No. It was cleaned up. But I mean, because this tanning factory for like 50 years was just pouring right into the water supply of the city, and they just didn't care. And like, these companies don't care about like the runoff. They're causing dead zones. They're killing our fish. Like it doesn't matter. Like, companies around the world just don't care about what they're doing. So I was 20 years old when I started caring about the water. I mean, like, the people of Flint still don't have clean drinking water. The entire country of Argentina is having an issue right now with their water. We need to come up with there's no such thing as rain anywhere in the world that doesn't have little microplastics in it. Like, we have screwed ourselves permanently with this. So
yeah, but all these things that you've pointed out are all truthful, but compared to DuPont and 3M's, this is just my opinion, it's at a totally different level. This is just my opinion, Heather, that they're criminals. They are criminals. They are criminals against humanity.
Basically. Exactly. They are. But the problem is, I mean, like, so I have been advocating for sustainable practices and public health, especially around water. PFAS contamination is like, it's an urgent problem. Like, we have to come up with better ways to detect this immediately, because it is a, like, if you do something like in Minneapolis, it affects people in India. It affects people in Argentina. It is not just a localized problem. The tanning factory was just a localized problem because thankfully that was just runoff in that order. But like microplastics are everywhere. And unfortunately, we have done this to ourselves forever.
Sorry, David. What's your opinion? Because I think these two, this particular story and these two particular companies, you know, there's been other environmental similar stories, but this is at a level of criminality that is mind blowing, basically. What's your thoughts about this, David?
I agree. I mean, the topic is outside of my typical wheelhouse. I'm not going to sit here and say that I can speak expertly on it. But one thing, I mean, obviously, I agree with what you're saying. One thing that does come to mind for me, too, is just it's one of those things that probably we need to look at the revolving door between stuff like this and government itself, just because these corporations with the EPA and all that, it isn't as if it's just them hiding everything. There are instances where things, even the EPA hides stuff, or there's a revolving door between industry and regulatory. And I think that has to exist. Otherwise, this problem would not have gone on for so long. And it goes into other.
Yeah, you're totally right, David. They really, really don't know what to do with this story, really, because it's so mind blowing and the consequences affect so many different areas, don't they, David? It's like hot potatoes on steroids, isn't it, David?
Yeah, and I'm happy to see new stories coming out. I mean, obviously, consumer awareness is a really big thing that's going to drive action. I think changing some of the products that we use, I mean, as far as like even just something as simple as Teflon pans. I mean, we've actually cut that stuff out in my family a long time ago. We use all iron and that type of thing. That stuff, you know, it'll last as long as we're alive anyway. But that was the main thing. It's not something that I know a lot about, but I would be looking at, instead of just going, okay, the companies are doing bad things, which I think we can agree on for sure. It's like, okay, who knew about it and how were they allowed to go on for that long? And I think in order to really solve these problems, it needs to be handled on both sides, not just regulatory, because sometimes things pass through that regulatory layer and they shouldn't.
So, Chris, like I say, there's criminality and there's criminality, isn't there? And there's mess-ups and there's mess-up. This is the biggest balls up in history, isn't it? Or one of the biggest, isn't it?
It is a big environmental and human issue. But I also like to think it's you know, there's the corporate criminal level, but there's also what we can do as individuals. And like David, we cook in cast iron. If you see me walking around, I'm drinking out of glass, not plastic as much as I can. I'm a big fan of well water personally and being as high up as possible, like in the water table, so you're not getting the runoff. Where I live in Maine, there's a lot of farms that have been affected by PFAS. They've either had to shut down or lose their organic certification, as an example. And a lot of that is coming from farmers using municipal sewage to fertilize the fields. So it's just the stuff is everywhere. So on a personal level, there's things you can do to try to avoid like packaging and use glass, use plastic less, but it's everywhere. Like Spencer said, you can't fully escape it. But yeah, helping educate. And I think what we're going to see at the entrepreneur level is you're going to see a huge boom from here with like PFAS free products, whether it's like a water brand or it's like a clothing brand or, you know, a textiles brand. You're just going to see that this is like a new marketing thing, which is fine. People are going to make money with it, but I think it's also really good because it helps educate the people to, buy PFAS free food or at a certain level where it's considered safe or whatever. So we'll see it. We're going to see this story for a long time at the place where we buy our goods.
So do you want to say something, Spence? Oh, you're muted.
Yeah, microphone.
Oh, you're muted. Oh, no, yeah, come back. So, Kurt, what saw you mute, Spence? You're still muted, Spence.
Spencer, we can hear you. Just be quiet.
He has been muted to 3M and DuPont.
3M doesn't want to hear anymore, Kurt. What was your response?
I you know what? I want to be more positive. I do. And I know that individually we can do cool things. Like when I went to France, you know, the mustard, the ketchup, it all came in glass bottles at the table. And beyond being cool, it was like the food was better. Like the first time I had a piece of bacon in Italy, I felt like I licked a 9-volt battery. It's not the same food as what we get in America. And so as an American, when you look at the structure, you can't help but feel a little bit defeated because you know there's no accountability in this country whatsoever. No one's going to do anything to DuPont or to anyone else because they're simply just going to take a boatload of cash and give it to some politicians that are going to sweep that under the table and never get voted on. And when it comes to a financial repercussion, the taxpayer is going to have to saddle that bill to try and clean up whatever it is. But as people that buy things, you know, why do we let Pepsi mess with our water and bottle it and then resell it to us and then have unbelievable amounts of refuse come from that? Because we're lazy. We're lazy and we're cheap. And in the end, we end up paying more because of it. So we just need to make smarter decisions as consumers.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can. Yeah.
I agree with what Kurt said. What I wanted to add for both Chris's and Kurt's comments, we're really at a crossroads because of the age of people who really have all the financial power and political power. The very same people from that boomer and greatest generation who are still doing everything know they are not going to live long enough to suffer the consequences of their actions. And they are morally bankrupt, not due to their fault, but because they were raised in a generation of we own and control the world and can do anything to anyone anytime. Our generation, the Gen Xers, are screwed because we're the layer between the kids of ours and the kids younger than ours that are going to suffer this. And until the boomer generation are no longer in politics or running the corporations or anything, there is no amount of political pressure that could ever exist because the house is on fire, the raft is sinking, everybody's dying, and they don't care because they're in their late 70s, early 80s, 90s. They do not have any fear of any of the consequences of what all of the rest of us are going to be left living with. That is why we're really hosed until something dramatic happens. It has to be like either revolutionary now, or it has to just be like our parents' age generation dies finally. I know it sounds cynical, but it's true. You have 80 fucking year old people running for president right now. Oh, and man. All of Congress is multimillionaire billionaires, like in their 80s. Like the Supreme Court justice is hanging his flag upside down and is in his 70s, 80s. Like, how are we going to fix this with political pressure? Well, ain't going to happen.
Well, thanks for that, Spencer. Cheers for that, Spence. Thanks.
Hope you guys enjoy your day and your weekend.
Yeah, thanks for that, Spencer. So I think it's quite clear these people have to be rounded up and they need to face a fair criminal trial. In my opinion, they need to go to prison. Most of them and all their financial gains through working through DuPont and 3M should be confiscated by the government. And they need to be made
a... Look at the Sacklers. The Sacklers are still roaming free. I mean, come on. You got to be realistic. The only solution is the younger generation is where all my hope is. And I say younger than us because our generation, we're just like acting as a buffer, like the Gen X's. But the millennials, the Gen Z's, the younger ones, they're the ones that give me hope because they do not have... I have three aged kids. They don't have the moral problems of our parents and they don't have the weight of what we have to carry. If they get together, they have enough human power. And I also include the kids in China and Russia and other places around the world, in India as well. I think they have a better, clear view of what humanity needs to be in a world of 8.5 billion people. And it cannot be like what was happening in the 1940s mindset because there's just not enough resources to fix these problems once they start. And it's sad to say about them.
Let's move on to something more pleasant. But I thought I had to...
Let's go to WordCamp Europe 2024, much more civilized Torino, Italy, Northern Italy. So, Chris, I suppose you're going there. I suppose Heather's my, well, I don't think Heather's.
I'm actually not going this time.
You're not going?
No. I've been to a lot of WordCamps lately, and, yeah. And I have my sights set on the WordCamp Asia in the Philippines.
Oh.
Like next big one. But, yeah, I'm sure it'll be a great time in Torino.
Are you going to Washington?
Or the Northwest? I don't think so this year.
Washington? Are you talking about
Portland. Sorry, Portland. I was thinking Spokane.
Yeah. Portland. Yeah, it's Portland.
You're getting a bit confused.
Honestly. Well, I just got.
Why did you correct him? I wanted to see the rage on social media.
Because when you think of Portland and Spokane, they're both equally odd places compared to San Diego.
I'm fascinated that we have many live. You know, if you don't talk about page builders, nobody attends these live events. But there we go. David, what did you think? I think it's going to be I think it's going to be a great event, is it?
It looks to be. I'm not going to go over there for it. I am going to be at the one in Portland. And actually, for me, that'll be my first WordCamp. So that's so I'm looking forward to that one. But I mean, I look at the speaker list and there's some people here that it'd be nice to see in person. And otherwise, I'm kind of hoping a lot of them show up at the Portland event as well.
I might be going to Portland. So, Heather, obviously, you're resting, aren't you? Because, and there's no penguins there. it's a great event. You know, Katie Keefe's going to be there, Matt Cromwell is speaking, and Amber Hines. There were three highlights. But where do you think these conferences, not just WordCamps, but these live conferences anyway, after COVID, do you think they're back fully? Or I sense that, you know, people can put them against their business expenses and it's great to meet people in person, but it seems to be something lacking always. Or am I wrong? It's just basically you can put it against your business expenses and you can meet people in person.
It depends. Like, it depends on the event. Is it something that you're going to get something out of for work, whether it's to learn or to network? You really do need to have a good reason to go to these events. For me, I go to speak and be with the other speakers because being with my peers and like building those relationships and continuing those relationships, it's great. I don't go to attend conferences really because I can see all that information online. So, I mean, for me, it's to network and build like a group of peers. And so, everyone has to have a good reason to go.
So, Jeff, do you think they're going to get grief about who the speakers are? And like there seems to be no kind of whatever you do, how you organize one of these events, you're going to get grief from a certain group of people, aren't you?
You're probably talking about the whole diversity conversations that have taken place around your WordCamp EU the past few years, huh? So far, I haven't seen any outrage or anything about this year's event. Here in the United States, I have a feeling that WordPress meetups, we're definitely not at the pre-COVID 2020 era of meetups. They're slowly but surely coming along, but it doesn't seem to be coming along as fast as I would like to see. And then
what about the US one in Portland? Am I correct? They put the price up to $100 per ticket.
Yes, it is $100 per ticket.
Yeah. What was your reaction?
I initially thought, whoa. But then I thought about everything you're getting into it. And then you start comparing it to other large major conferences, and it's still an insane deal.
Yeah, that was my own fault. I thought it was ridiculously cheap. What do you reckon, Spence?
I mean, in past years, because I've been to a few of these events, like I compared it to Salesforce's gigantic event or anything, like WordPress for $100. It's like, come on. I mean, that's just going out for a drink. The cost is nothing. Those other events cost thousands of dollars. But those other events are like going to Disney World. And WordPress, actually, I was very impressed. San Diego was nice, but Maryland turned out to be amazing. I hung out with a lot of you guys there because the people made it amazing. And that location turned out to be just the right place with the right weather, the, you know, right time. I would hope to, I have a ticket for Portland. I hope it turns out to be good. I live in Chicago, but you know how people like joke about, oh, I'm afraid to come to Chicago. I'm going to get murdered. Like, you hear lots of not so nice stuff about Portland these days. So hopefully it turns out to be just.
I've heard and read the same stuff. I've actually seen that. And some people question whether they should go to Portland or not for WordCamp US based on.
But it's
the same across. You could take any metropolitan city in the United States right now, and it's dangerous.
Listen, Chicago, it's been that way forever, but I'm sure the hotel where this is going to be is not going to be an event. But as far as meetups and stuff, I think it's for the people. And like I say, I've got to meet you guys in person, all of you, except for Heather. But David, I don't think I met you in person, but like.
No, I wasn't there.
Bottom line is that's for me the benefit. So for $100, if you can afford to take a couple days, it's a fun way to hang out with a bunch of people you've only seen online.
Yeah, even I'm probably going to go, but I'll be camping.
I bought you lunch.
I have so far so good. There's a pretty good shot that I'm going to be there.
Oh, all right, there we go. So, Chris, do you think there's anything that can be done that can kind of make it? I don't know. Slightly different, or is it just the place? You know, it's a conference, just a conference, and it's the venue, and it's just the people that turn up, basically, and you can't really. That's the main thing that makes it a good event or not, and the speakers. But I'm not even sure the speakers really made that much. I'm sorry to damage their egos, but
I think a conference is a product. There's tons you could do to like innovate and change. I think bringing in some heavy hitter speakers, potentially having a budget for that, could help, like to have a keynote by somebody that is really relevant to the community. For example, I was looking forward to seeing Tim Ferriss in Taiwan. He ended up canceling, but you know, that was kind of cool.
Was he with Heather with the King Penguins?
But community is a part of WordPress, so yeah, it's really important. And
they need Professor Galloway to be a speaker, don't they?
I think they do a pretty darn good job organizing with volunteers. You know, that's a big ask, and I think that they do a great job for what they've got, but there's always room for innovation there.
So, beloved panel, do you want to discuss the last story, or do you want me to wrap it up now, beloved panel?
I mean, I had one more thing I wanted to add on about WordCamps.
Yeah,
something that Heather said, and from a business perspective, there's been a lot of conversation about ROI. Why should a business invest in a WordCamp event? Why should they be a sponsor? You know, if you go to these landmark or prestigious premier events, the bigger WordCamps, and you sponsor them, your message quickly gets drowned out. It gets lost. There's so many people there. It's very hard to mingle and interact with a bunch of people. There's just too much that's going on there. And it's really hard to measure ROI from a business perspective, unless you're tracking it via a coupon or something that's, you know, something that's actually can be tracked. So my concern is going into the future, how long is it going to be before companies decide, hey, this is an investment for us, for we don't really see any ROI. We get it. Sponsoring is something that we can do to contribute back to WordPress and the community, but it doesn't make business sense for us. I wonder when that money's going to dry up.
Yeah, I think you brought, I'll just give you a little story about this. Maybe one of the reasons, like not last year, before that, I tried to get a media pass, and I was dealing with a prick that was giving me a hard time, Jeff. And I actually had to email the great leader, and I got the great leader to email this prick on my behalf. it's amazing when their attitude changed straight away. It's like they got electric prod up their arse. It was quite amazing, really, when you got real power and you see somebody that's got real power, and because you haven't got any. It was like, oh, anything you want. You want a room? You can have it. You want this, the other, whatever you want. It was quite amazing, Jeff. But I'd be like, some of the attitudes of the people organizing it might be the problem, Jeff. You're not going to say anything to that, are you?
No, just make sure you stay away from sponsoring the doors of elevators. That's all.
Yeah, that's there we go.
people will get that.
Oh, I think I'm going to wrap it up. I'm getting bored. It's been a great discussion. Heather, what's the best way for people to find more about what you're up to, Heather?
You can find me at Heatheriel pretty much everywhere online, and find out my company at thedifferenceconsulting.com.
Jeffo, what's the best way for people to find out what you're up to?
You can find me on X, formerly Twitter. Yeah, it's so stupid calling it X, at Jeffro, JEFFR0.
Yes, formerly known as Twitter. There we go. David, you must come back. Hopefully, I think you've had a laugh, haven't you, David? I could see you laughing at some of my shitty jokes. So, David, what's the best way for people to find out more about what you're up to and your views?
Yeah, easy. Just blogmarketingacademy.com. That's where everything is.
Spencer, what's the best way for people to find out more about you and what you're up to?
WPLaunchFi.com, social, Spencer Foreman, leave off the E for savings.
And Chris, what's the best way for people to find out more about you and your views and what you're up to?
LifterLMS.com, and I'm easy to reach on X at Chris Badgett.
Yep, he certainly is. We will be back next month with another list of WordPress and tech stories that get my perverse interest, beloved tribe. And the best way to support the show tribe is just to share it on social media. It gets more people. Our numbers are increasing. There we go. We will be back next month. We'll see you soon. Bye.
Hey, thanks for listening. We really do appreciate it. Why not visit the Mastermind Facebook group? And also, to keep up with the latest news, click wp-tonic.com/newsletter. We'll see you next time.